Okay, so on Daf Chavchenim Beis, we're on 6 lines from the bottom, or 7 lines from the bottom in the Mishnah. So Manita and Rishut, so we said that for an individual, Kesef is not a kinyan. Either on Derais it's not, or even if it is on Derais, on the Rabbanim said it's not. But Manita and Rishut, when Hekdesh buys money, and the world will give an example, they can use money based on a pasuk. Rishut HaHedyot BaChazaka. Rosh Hashanah means a civilian can use chazaka. Here it doesn't really mean chazaka, it really means mishicha. If a person's getting an animal, he's moshe, he pulls the animal, or he hits the animal, he pulls the animal, it comes. Amiratola gaboa kemasiratola hedyot. If a person declares something which should belong to Hekdesh, so then it automatically belongs to Hekdesh. You don't even need any more transfer. His statement transfers it to Hekdesh. So we'll see in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Ketzer Rosh Hashanah gaboa. What does it mean? What's an example of Rosh Hashanah gaboa b'kesef? Gizbar shetan ma'o. If the gizbar, the treasurer of the Beis Hamikdash, gave money for a behema, afilu behema sof olam kana. Even if the animal's in China, he gives the money to the owner here in Eretz Yisrael, so he automatically acquires title to the animal. That's Rosh Hashanah gaboa b'kesef. We're 4 lines to the bottom on top kind of days. Ubehed yo lo. If he's a civilian, he only acquires it after Mashiach. Mashiach means he pulls it over to him. So that we did. Kate said, "I'm Yeratel. And then the Braisa says, "What does it mean? Like his statement to Hashem is like giving to like Hedyot, like a regular person." Omer Shorza Ola. If a person says, "This ox is an Ola," Bayitza Hekdesh. This house is Hekdesh. Declared belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. Afilu b'sofa olam, even if the shore or the house is at the ends of the earth, kano. So then the Hekdesh acquires it because the donor made an amira. The donor's amira is like giving it over to a regular person. He says the hedyot lo kana, but if it's a garden variety person under the same circumstances, he will not acquire it. Top line chafetz adshim shoch. If it's an animal, he has to mashicha or biyasik. If it's real property, has to do chazaka on it. Now the Brisa continues. A person is trying to poda an animal from Hekdesh. So the animal belongs to Hekdesh. He's trying to redeem it from Hekdesh. He says he did Mashiach and he had agreed with Hekdesh that the sales price would be, or the pinyon price would be in 1 mana, 100 zuz. But before he could pay the money, no tain matayim. So we said that when it comes to getting the animal from Hekdesh, it's what we'll see in a minute. It's the money that does it. It's a little bit different. So now the Gemara interjects, my taima, but atana kesef the kamlo. In other words, when it comes to Hekdesh, so not only, right, in other words, the Mashiach isn't the key, it's giving the money is the whole thing. So if he worked out a deal and then he did Mashiach, so normally it's done deal. But with Hekdesh, if the price went up, it's not a done deal. He's got to give the higher price. Now, conversely, on line three, Mishachov, he worked out a deal that he's going to pay Hekdesh 200 zuz. Lo speak lifto, and before he could pay the money, ad shamad b'mana, it went down to a mana. So now this seems to benefit the buyer. No tain matayim. He, the purchaser, nevertheless still has to give 200 zuz. So the Gemara says, my tama. The Gemara is interjecting in the price of why does he have to give more? It means that a civilian should not be in a better situation than Hekdesh from the seller's point of view. So if in other words, let's say he was a civilian seller and we worked out a deal, it's going to be 200 zuz. And then the buyer does mashicha. And then the price crashes. So I still get the 200 zuz. You do the kinyan. You do the kinyan. So Hekdesh should not be in a more inferior position than a civilian in the same situation. So they're getting the best of both possible worlds. Okay, then let me just continue the Mishnah, then we'll take questions, comments to us, and we got to go. We have a lot more tonight. Let's say here the person paid the money. So first he was doing Mashiach. Now it's the other way around. Now he's paying the money from Hekdesh. I'll say dollars. He paid $200. Below speak lemoshcho, and before he could do mashicha, the price crashed. No tain matayim. So It means he doesn't get any refund. In other words, he paid, but it means he doesn't get a refund because he didn't do Mashiach until the drop. My timer, but a ton of kesef bekamlo. Again, when it comes to purchasing from Hekdesh, the key is the money. Now, the Obamana, let's say he paid $100 for the animal, below speak Lamoshko before it do Mashiach, Matayim. Now it went up. So here I would think, well, he's in good shape. He paid the 100, it's his already. So ma shepata padui, elamana. So here now again. So normally I would think, remember with the earlier case, either way we were judging Hekdesh to be in a superior position with the Mashiach in the earlier case. You're right. Here he paid. So he says here he's got the benefit of the deal, the 100 zuz. Why? So am I hachanami name. Why don't we say that a civilian should not be in a better place than Hekdesh? So if he was a non-Hekdesh person who is selling it and he gets the money, so then the price goes up, but you didn't do Mashiach, I want more money. So logically, Hekdesh should not be in a worse situation than the civilian. So the Gemara says, Atu hedyo la b'misha. Even a civilian, under those circumstances, it's right in terms of Kenyan, the Mashiach hasn't been done yet, but there's an idea in the Gemara Bava Metzia that a person shouldn't renege on his word. So if he agreed to sell it for a cheaper price, and then the customer paid the money, but he didn't do Mashiach yet, and then it goes up. So the seller is under an admonition. A mishpar means it's like a curse. In other words, if you don't stay by your word, the Kadosh Baruch Hu punished the Dor HaMabul, punished the Dor HaPlaga, HaPalaga, will punish you. Okay. Now, questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Okay, let's move on. Now, next Mishnah. Now, these are very nice Gemaras coming up. Maybe people have done this before. It's the sugya of Kibud Av Va'Em, and it's a very nice sugya. Okay, the next couple of dafim. And they're all nice, but this is nicer. Okay, and even nicer. Okay, so now, Manitin, Kumitzvot Bein Al-Av, and we don't know what this means. It could either mean Mitzvot Bein Al-Av that the son owes to the father, or it can mean duties the father owes to the son. Anashim chayvim anashim p'turot. It's only men are chayv, not women. So the Gemara is going to say it means obligations from the parent to the child that we'll discuss in a minute. It's incumbent on the father, not the mother. It says, the Well, Mitzvah Avol, again, we don't know what it means, but the Gemara is going to explain. It means like in terms of Kibbutz Ava'im, both men and women are obligated. The Chumitzvah Grama, a positive command controlled by time, Anashim Chayvim Anashim Turot. So men are obligated in Mitzvah Zman Grama, women are Pturot, they're exempt from it. The Chumitzvah Shlova Grama, but if it's a positive command that's not controlled by time, they're both men and women are obligated. The Chumitzvot Lo Tas say, if it's a negative commandment, Bein Shezman Grama, Bein Shlova Zman Grama, whether it's controlled by time or not controlled by time, Echad Hanashim Echad Hanashim Chayvim. So when it comes to Lo Tasa, men and women are the same. Women can't violate a Lo Tasa just like men can't violate a Lo Tasa, except three exceptions. Chutzim Baal Takif. Baal Takif is shaving off like the sides of the head, on like with the temples, right? He says Ubal Tashbit is like shaving the beard. And if she's a Bat Kohen, she's not under any admonition not to be in the time of the Matim. But Bat Kohen can go to a funeral. That's what it means. Okay? All right. Now, right. Okay. Now, right. Right. Okay. Now the Gemara says, "My kumas for the bein ala'av." What does it mean? All the mitzvahs of the son on the father. Ilema kumas for the mechayev brother and baba abba. So the Gemara first considers one pshat, which is going to reject. If it means that obligations that the son is obligated due to his father, nashim p'turot, women are exempt. But Tanya, ish, ain li'el ish, ish ha'minayin. When it's talking about kibbutz av, or in this case, yira, for a parent, says ish, a man, ain li'el ish, ish ha'minayin. How do we know the woman is also obligated to fear her parents? Shumer ish mo'vi tira'u. So it says ish is singular, but tira'u is plural. Harei kan shnayim. So Chazal to understand from that pasuk, both men and women are obligated in yira from the parents. So Amar Yehuda Hafi Kamar. So Rabbi Yehuda says this is the Pshat Mishnah. Kol mitzvot habein hamutalot la'av. Any obligation that the father has towards the son, anashim chayvim anashim turot. that men are obligated, women are exempt. In other words, the father is obligated, the mother is not obligated. Tanina lahad tana rabbanan. We learn in the Mishnah that which Chachamim teaches in a brisa, ha'av kayab known lemulo. A father is obligated to give a bris milah to his son, lift a toho to do pity on a ben, lando Torah to teach him Torah, lahasiyo isha to marry him off. And again, the Ritva says, why is this Mishnah doing here? So the Ritva says it's connected to lahasiyo isha. We're mentioning the obligation of the father to marry off the son. And this is the second kedushin. That's the way the Ritva says. Then Rabbi Leibowitz, in an older recording that it was online today, he said, I think the Bnei Yoshua says that Gemara first teaches you all these kinyanim that relates to, you know, land and personality, and now it's teaching you, I think, ways to acquire, what is it, Olam Haba, something like that, other things. So he says, Lasi Misha, Ulam de Umanot, and he's obligated to teach his son a trade or a craft. Yeshomrim, Aplash Tabalim. Some say, he's also obligated to teach his son how to swim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Koshin Ulami de Beno Umanot, the Tanah Rabbi Yehuda says, if you don't teach your son a trade or a craft, then you're teaching him to be a robber, you know, a red bandit. So the Gemara interjects, listen, talk about that. He didn't teach him to be a bandit. This is as if he is teaching him to be a bandit. In other words, if he doesn't teach him a way to make a livelihood, in the end, he's going to engage maybe in non-kosher schemes to make money. So that's a failing on the father's part. Okay, let me pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Question from Zoomland.
Okay, 1 second. Yosef first, then come to you. What? So Yosef asked, does the father have obligations to the daughter? So there is an obligation. I was talking today with Rabbi Ike Sultan, like the Chinuch. You know, Chinuch, he has obligations to see, like, you know, how to do Shabbos and Kashrut and Mitzvot and things like that. And as a result of that, she has to study the Dinim to know how to observe Shabbos and things like that. But it's more in terms of Chinuch, not in terms of a Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Okay, what's up? So I don't know about marrying her off. I don't know about that. Okay, now, Daniel, what's up? What's up, Daniel?
So one of the opinions, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Go.
So one of the opinions is that he has to teach him swimming. Why swimming from anything else? Maybe teach him the laws of the jungle. I mean,
okay, we got it. Okay, look at Rashi. So Daniel's asking why he has to teach him how to swim. Let's look in the Rashi. Rashi says, "Aplahashi Tobinahar, to swim in the river." Rashi has around the 20th hour line. Shemi Yifrosh Pesina. Maybe he'll take a boat trip. The boat will sink. Then he'll be in danger. It may no deal to if he doesn't know how to swim. So the Gemara figures swimming is like a vital thing that everybody should know how to swim.
But maybe it goes to the jungle. Maybe it goes to the desert. There are a million other things. I mean, it is an additional situation, but it's far-fetched. And there are a million other things that he needs to know to survive in life.
I don't know. But the traveling by boat was maybe a little more common than that. And then in terms of the other things, maybe he'll know, like, you know, just by seichel, this he has to be taught. In other words, I know.
Why does it say af for the swimming?
That's according to, let's see back in the Gemara, it says.
In the Mishnah.
Yeah, 1 second. No. That's in the Brisa. The Brisa says, v'yeshurim aflash shalvayim. Some say even how to swim. In other words, the Tanah of the Brisa says you have to teach him a trade or a craft, and some say even how to swim. In other words, in order to get along in life, he needs a livelihood, and some say also even how to swim, like that could be like crucial for him. That's all I have with that. Listen, I have to move. We're running out of time. I apologize. Okay, we're at 2 dots. Okay, we're 4 or 5 lines before it gets wide on Chavtenim and Aleph. Now, we said in the Brisa, so we segue to lay a little bit away. So we said that the Mishnah is teaching me that the obligations the father has to the son, only men are obligated, not women. And then the Brisa illuminated what those obligations were. And that was to give a bris, to do an event, to teach a Torah, to marry a wolf, teach a trade or craft, and some say even teach how to swim. So now the Gemara is using the Brisa as a springboard. Lemulo Menayin, how do we know the father is obligated to give a bris to his son? To see by Yamol Abraham is Chafano. It says, Ben Shmonat Yamim Kashet Sivot Olkim. When he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. So it says that he was commanded, like, and the Gemara takes it, like, to give a bris to his son. We assume that every father is obligated, you know, to, and Rashi says, And where he doesn't, the father doesn't give him a bris, so then the Beis Din is obligated to give him a bris. The theme, Himolachem calls Achar, the double language, Himolachem, not double language, Himolachem, Lachem, you, the community, Himolachem, you, in other words, the obligation is incumbent upon you, plural, the community to see that he has his Achar, that he has a bris. Where the Beis Din doesn't give him a bris, Achayv Ilumim al Nafshe. Then he has to give himself a bris, but see that he gets a bris. Obviously, when he gets older, if a person doesn't give a bris, he's chayav karet. And Rabbi Leibowitz is going over today, according to Rambam, it's when he dies, he'd be chayav karet, but that's his obligation. So, how do I know that the mother is not obligated to give a bris to her son? As God had commanded Abraham, and that's Sarah. Ashkan Miyah, the Dortmund Island. So we see that the way that the Arthur was translating this, we see that in the time of Abraham, that it was only the father, not the mother. How do we know that that's through all the generations? So Tanat Bey Rabbi Shmuel, Koma Kamashinem Martsab, wherever the verb Tsab is used, so it says Kashet Sibao Tolokim, Enol Aziris Miyah Dorot. It means it's like an encouragement, and now and for future generations. In other words, it's like arousing you to be careful of this. Like we see it, the verb, you know, tzav is used by Yoshua b'chazkeiv. I'm saying strengthen him. He says miyad ledorot. Now and going forward, the theme in a yom shetivah Hashem b'hala ledorot teichem. So once you see tzivah, it means that's the way it goes forward into the future. Okay, let me do a few more lines and then I'll pause in a little bit. Okay, lift oto. Father is also obligated to give Piyon Ben to his son, says Ben Alan. How do we know that a father is obligated to give Tiv? That all your firstborn you should redeem. But the father doesn't give him Piyon Ben, then he is obligated to give a Piyon Ben to himself, arrange for it. The Tiv, Pado Tifteh, the double language, Pado Tifteh, so he has to take care of it. So I remember Rabbi Haskell Lukstein was telling me about this once. He said, like, sometimes you have, like, Bali Tshuva, they get older, and then they find out there was never a Pinyon Ben, and then they do it, and then they go to the Kohen and say, this is my son was a Bechor. He said, I'm a Bechor, and here's the Pinyon. Anyway, now, V'im and Alan Dlamifkida, how do we know that the mother is not commanded to give a Pinyon Ben or take care of the Pinyon Ben for her son? Tichtiv, Tipadeh, Tifteh. So when the Torah says Tifteh, that you should redeem him. In other words, you redeem the son, but we could read it tipadeh, you know, that you should be redeemed. So if the Gemara darshens out that a person who is under an obligation to redeem himself, he's also obligated to redeem other people. So tipadeh would be himself. Tifteh would be other people. So if you're in the parsha where you're obligated to redeem yourself, then you're obligated to parsha to redeem other people. He says, so how do we know that a woman is not obligated to give pinyon a ben for herself? That's the linchpin. That if she's not obligated to give herself, she's not obligated to take care of pinyon a ben for other people. The thief here flips around, tifteh tipadeh. In other words, tifteh, you should redeem others, and tipadeh, you should be redeemed. Whenever other people are obligated to redeem this person, in other words, if other people are commanded to take care of my pinyon, then I'm commanded to redeem myself. So how do we know? It's like one thing to another thing. In other words, how do we know that she's not, that other people are not obligated to take care of redeeming her? Maybe a woman is chayven to be pinyon of them. All your sons you should redeem, but your sons are not your daughters. All right, let me do a few more lines and I'll pause and take lines. So Tana Rabbanan, who left out of an left out? Let's say there's not enough money in the house, and they have exactly five slime, though we'll see the Gemara will qualify this. So the father needs a pidyon, and the son needs a pidyon. Who has priority? Who could have left out? So Tana Kama says the father has priority over the son. Rabbi Yudah Omer, Beno Kodmo. Rabbi Yehuda says the son is priority over the father. Jazem mitzvato al aviv means the father's obligation in the first place was on the father's father, in other words, first and foremost, a father's obligated to redeem his son. So, in other words, let's say you have Yaakov and Reuben. Yaakov's the father, Reuben's the son. So Yaakov needs a pinyon and Reuben needs a pinyon. So Rabbi Yehuda says that, so the Tana Kama says that Yaakov comes before Reuben. But Rabbi Yehuda says Reuben comes first because the obligation to redeem Yaakov first and foremost was on Yitzchak. And the obligation to redeem Reuben is first and foremost on Yaakov. So that's the reason. So the Gemara will qualify this in a minute. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Akomodim, turn page on the top line on Amud Beis, Akomodim, Kol Heichal Lekal Chamesh Shlayim, if there's only five Shlayim in the household, who Kodem Levno? So Rabbi Yirmiya says everybody agrees if there's only five Shlayim, the father has priority. My time, a mitzvah d'gufa adifa, because the mitzvah relating to himself has priority. He pligi the machloket that we just went through, not the way I said it before. He pligi heichadika chamesh v'shubadim chamesh b'nei chorim. The total assets in the household are five slime. They have money in hand, and then there's a piece of karka that was worth five slime that the father sold off, let's say 5 years ago. Okay, so total assets in the household: five slime cash in hand, and five slime that are nechasim v'shubadim. Rabbi Yehuda Savar. Rabbi Yehuda holds an obligation for money that's written in the Torah, like Pidyon HaBen, is the equivalent of an obligation that's written in a shtar. Shtar means if a person borrows money and there's a shtar, so everybody's on notice that he owes that money. So here too, the Gemara takes it, if the Torah obligates me to pay a certain amount of money, that's like Kishtub Shtar Dhamma. So therefore, he holds Bani Chamish Parik Lebrei. So therefore, for that reason, not the way I said before. You should take the five slime and redeem the son. And then the Kohen will go and seize the property from the purchaser. So it means like this. When he sold the property, the son wasn't alive. He wasn't born yet. But he sold the property, so the purchaser is on notice. It seems a little rough that he's got to know the guy never had a pinyon ben, but we take it that any obligation that the creditor has is on the purchaser. So he's on notice that he might be obligated to pay the five slayim. So therefore, if the father pays the five slayim to the Kohen for the son first, and now he's got no money, now the Kohen can come and seize the other. And we don't view it as onah, as a type of like cheating with the buyer, because the mitzvah of the son is on, for, in other words, he's paying for the son first. That's the main obligation. The Rabbanan Savri, the Chamin hold, Milda Chiba writes a lot just to Vishtar Danya. The Chamin said, no, it's written in the Torah, that's not like written in the Shtar. So there's only five slides to play around with, so his own pidyon takes first. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up? Let's hear.
Is there an obligation of the community to do pidyon?
It's interesting, because the Gemara didn't mention that. It does not seem like there is an obligation on the community to do pidyon.
And I'm interested in why the mother, in case a father's not around, is not obligated in the mila, whereas the community is. And it didn't seem to use the reasoning because she doesn't have the obligation on herself. That was not used in the mila section.
We went through the drasha, like, you know, the kashrut sibo tolakim. God commanded Abram, he didn't command Sarah to give the bris to Yitzchak, right?
I understand that, but he also didn't command the Kehillah to do it.
The Gemara says, "Himo lachem kol zachar," that all of him, he
the lachem.
You, the community is taking care of the bris is taken care of.
Right.
The Gemara had. Yeah.
But they said that in Pidjo, not in Mila.
Right. By Mila, they didn't have that Lima. Right. By the pinyon, the Gemara learned tifta tipade that I can read two ways. The Gemara didn't have a drush like that by Bris Mila. All right. I'm sure that he is punished. What the punishment would be, I don't know, but he would be punished. From Shemayim? You mean like that? Yeah. Okay. Now, all right. All right, let's see further in the Gemara. All right, so now we're 10 lines down on Chaf Tanwad base. Everybody with me? Okay. So Tanur Rabbanan, we learned the Brisa l'todah benover l'alot regel. So there's different ways to learn the sugya, but the simple way to learn the sugya, there's not enough money to do pidyon ben and make aliyah the regel and bring the korban out. So one of them has to give way for the other one. So podah benover charkach kol l'alot regel. So he'll redeem the son, and then the Rashash understands it, he'll get himself to Yerushalayim, and then hopefully find some money to bring the korban out. But first and foremost, you do the pidyon ben. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ola Regel, Bacharcha Koda Beno. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. You first take Ali the Regel and then worry about the Pinyon Ben later. Why? Shazu Mitzvah Veret, because Ali the Regel is Mitzvah Veret. If today I have it, you know, next week I won't. Shazu Mitzvah Shemino Veret, but the Pinyon Ben, that's an ongoing obligation. So Bishlemi Rabbi Yehuda can come our time. So Rabbi Yehuda, he gave his Svara, I know, El Rabbanan my Tamayu. What's the reason for the Chachamim who say, Koda Beno Bacharcha Koda the Regel? The Amar Krah, it says in Parsha Kitisa, "Kol b'chor b'necha tifteh, you should redeem your sons." B'charka b'hadar lo yiru panai reikam. In other words, so he's darshening out the way the misses are. The order of the misses has stated in the pasuk. He's learning that the order is significant. Saying "Kol b'chor b'necha tifteh," first do that, and then b'hadar lo yiru panai reikam. All right. No, it's the same pasuk. Kol b'chor b'necha lo yiru panai reikam. Right. Okay, now.
Isn't it a mitzvah overet when it's supposed to be done on the 30th day?
No. It should be done on the 30th day. But if it's not done on the 30th day, the mitzvah hangs around for the 60th day, the 90th day, you know, the 1,000th day, the 10,000th day. In other words, it doesn't go anywhere. Once you have the mitzvah, in Akinami, the mitzvah should be done then, but the mitzvah is not going anywhere. Whereas by Aliyah the Regel, next week you won't have the mitzvah. Okay. Yeah, when we do it the 31st day. We do it the 31st day, we do the pidyon ben. All right. Welcome, Daniel. Yeah, okay. So we're now on here. Let's walk in the room. Yeah.
Who else is there? Yosef and Daniel, that's it?
Other people could not make it here tonight, which is another reason why I need Marvin. Okay, now.
Let's take still not here.
All right, now. So we're around 10 lines above where it gets wide on Kaf Tanur Beis. Okay? So Tanur Banan, let's say a man has got five wives and he's got five firstborn sons from the five wives. How do I know he's obligated to have five, you know, pidyona, you know, ben? So, Pidyone Yaben, Tamalomar, Kobokor Banacha Tifteh. Says all your firstborn you have to be Poda. So, where's the Pshita, Petarechem, Talarachmana? Isn't that obvious? The Torah says, Ko Petarechem. Petarechem, the one that like releases like the first one out of the womb, has to be redeemed. So, obviously, I know that the five sons need it. So, I would have thought, had the Bryce not taught me this, that I should learn Xivir Shava, Bechor Bechor from Nachala. It was by Nachala. There's a Bechor L'Nachala, whereas the firstborn son gets Pishnayim. His Malahal and Reishi don't know. So it says, we just had this Parsha speaking today, Q Reishi don't know. He's his first strength. So he says, so it means Bechor L'Nachala has to be the father's first son. It's Bechor L'Nachala. So I would have said, Avkan Reishi don't know. So maybe by Bechor for Pidyon Ben, it should be the same thing. And only his is so Kamash Balan, not this way. All right, now. The Gemara says, Lamdo Torah. So a father is obligated to teach his son Torah. So Manalan, where do we know that a father is obligated to teach his son Torah? The Tivlimad Temotam B'nechem. That's a pasuk everybody knows from Kriyat Shema. You should teach your son. The Heiflo Agmari Avua, where the son, the father didn't teach the son, then he's obligated to teach and find and get the information himself. The Tiv Ulimad Tem. So Lamatem, Rashi says a different pasuk. So Rashi quotes the pasuk. It's his third narrow line. He says, you should study it and observe the mitzvah. So back in the Gemara, how do I know that the mother is not obligated to teach the son Torah? So here, the Gemara. I think the Gemara is just focusing on how to read the one word. So this is v'limad tem otam b'neichem. You should teach your sons, but I could read the word ulamad tem. You should study. Kosha mitzuva lomod mitzuva lalamed. So if a person is under an injunction or directive to study Torah themselves, then he has a mitzvah to teach others. Of course, ain't a mitzvah lamod. If a person is not directed to study Torah, then he's not directed to teach others. How do we know that a woman is not obligated to study Torah? Similar idea that we had before. He says, if other people are obligated to teach this person Torah, then he's obligated to teach himself. Other people are not directed to teach him Torah. How do we know that other people are not obligated to teach the woman in Torah? They're not your sons. So the key is like this, that, and I was going this, whatever, I exalted today, but so again, so women are not obligated. There's no mitzvah on women to study Torah the way there's a mitzvah on men to study Torah. But women are mitzvah on all the lavim, and there's a lot of and a lot of mitzvahs say that are not controlled by Zman. So there's a lot they need, as a matter of course, to know the halachot, you know, what to do. They need to know kashrus and Shabbos and taras and mishpacha and everything else. They need to study that, but only as a means to observe the mitzvah. But they're not mitzvah, they're not commanded to study Torah.
Are we saying if it's a single mother, she has no obligation to send her to study Torah?
Yeah, so... This Gemara is saying not, but it would make sense. Like there's a mitzvah chinuch. So I don't know if the mitzvah chinuch is on the mother or whatever, but it would be appropriate certainly for the mother to see that the kid goes to yeshiva. But in terms of limatem, there's no kim from her from that. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
It's interesting that the place where you don't have the drasha that you're obligated is the Mila. It's still, now you got the Pidyon drasha and the same drasha for Limud Torah.
Well, we had other drashas by the Bris Mila. Okay.
Right, you have Psukim.
Right.
We do have a case of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, one second. We have Psukim by the Limud Torah as well.
It was the double lashon that gave you the drasha there. Like, Hadoti Fateh.
It means you read it one way, but you could read it the other way. Yeah, go ahead.
Rabbeinu, when he did not do the Brit Milah, then Sephora took Sur and the person if she did it or Shaliach did it. But we have her coming and basically fighting the flag. So she came, but she did it instead of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the opinion that she did it.
Oh, he's talking about Sephora?
But not from obligation perspective.
All right, so Daniel's getting into the issue whether a woman could do Bris Milah on somebody, whether a woman could or not. So it's a whole machloket post came about this, and he's raising the issue with Sephora.
Right.
Yeah. So, but some say she didn't do it. This is what Kachzi brought sore, but some say she wasn't the one who actually cut off the.
She
oil.
Had it done. She like commissioned it. I thought. I didn't think she actually did.
In other words, she was trying to save Moshe Rabbeinu. Like it was like the Malach was going to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. So, but anyway, let me move on. Now
we're not saying that Miss bring me the Shavna Grama. It's Shavna Grama.
Oh. Okay, so Yosef's asking, isn't Bris Milah a mitzvah shezman grama? So women should be exempt anyway. Let's look at Tosfos. Okay, so Chavtan when I'll second last Tosfos. Okay, Oto below Ota. Okay, so it says Kasher Tiba Oto Elokim and not her. The second last Tosfos on 29a. Okay, Oto below Ota. Vim Tomar, Lamali Kro, typically the mitzvah shezman grama, who Shnibo Bushmini, later Tobar Shikuro. What do we pass up? I know it's just one grammar, like Yosef said. The Yesh Lomar, even to be machine Bahala, in the Hefsek, loves one grammar. Tosa says, if it never ends, never terminates, it's not a Zman grammar. There was to initiate it, it's fine, but then afterwards it's in business. Tim Tomar, a Katim Sages one grammar, who, the Malin El Bayom, Kidid Karaka Arel. So Silma says, can only brisk during the day, so it's still one grammar. So the Gemara says, aren't going like Shita, they can do even at night. Okay, let's go back to now to Kaftan and Zaveis obviously you can't do it again once you've done it, right. But you might be mechuyev to do a hatapas dam. You might have to have a hatapas dam. Yeah. Okay, now the third wide line. Chavtenu days. Okay. Now, Tanu Rabbanan, everybody with me? So Tanu Rabbanan, Hulamod Ubinolamod. Let's say only one of them is, let's say there's only not enough money in the household to pay for both of them to go study in yeshiva. The father needs to learn and the son needs to learn. Who could have known? So the Tanakhama says the father has priority over the son. Reb Yudomer, in Beno Zariz Mula, and Tamadoma Kain Biado, if the son is really sharp and you know he's got a lot of potential, Beno Kodmo. The son has priority over the father. He had the Reb Yaakov, the raider of Akabar Yaakov, like Reb Yaakov, the son of Reb Akabar Yaakov, Shadri Bula Kami Dabaye. So his father, Reb Akha, sent the son to learn before Abaye. Kiata when I guess when the son showed up again, the father saw that the son wasn't so good with Sfaris, like his learning wasn't so good. So Amarle, the father said to the son, "Anadif daminach, I have more priority. You're not mumulach, you're not so sharp. Tuvat, so you stick around here. The Ezel and I want to go. I'll go study yeshiva. Shama Abaye, the Kahava Ati. So now the one who's coming." Is Reb Akha, right? The father is Reb Akha Bar Yaakov. So Abaye hears that Reb Akha is coming. He says, "Haba hu mazik be Rabbanan da Abaye." There was a certain demon in the base medrash of Abaye. The chiyavu aili betrayin a pil mama haba mitziki. That even if two people showed up during the daytime, they'd be harmed by this mazik. In other words, normally during the day, mazikim don't roam. And when there were two people, they don't know it. But here it's during the day and two, so it's a very powerful mazik. Says Amar Lahu, Sabai said to everybody around, nobody give him a place where Reb Akha could stay for the night. Maybe a miracle occur. He'll have to stay in the base medrash, and we'll get rid of this terrible mazik. So Al, so Reb Akha came, Bat Bahube Rabbanan. And so he lodged in the base medrash. So the demon appeared to him like a serpent with seven heads. Sounds like a hydra almost. Called Kriya Dekara. So every time when Reb Akha was davening and bowing and praying that this mazik should be destroyed, not Rechad Reshi, another head got cut off. And then after the roll of Kriya, then no more demon. So Amar Luhul Makar. So the next day he said to Lol Kabra, "Below Trachish Nisa Sakinkan, if a miracle hadn't occurred to me, it would have put me in tremendous sakana." What? Yeah, he must have realized what this whole thing was all about, and that was it. So the base medrash to the R had Tehran, you're allowed to eat in the base medrash, and apparently here it seems like you could, sounds like, I have to check again, sounds like.
He didn't get much sleep.
The Kiluk Bay is in the Mishnah Brewing.
We are having trouble to deal with, so let's put his life at risk.
One second. Well, that's I think what he was saying. One second. Let's just take a look.
I think some opinions say they knew that he has the power, so he was not doing this. They know him. What is that with the seven? Was it one ice with the seven report or arbitrary seven?
Okay, are you around from? Can you come? 9 o'clock. Are you downstairs? Oh, good. Go have a. Okay, I'll have to check another time. Okay.
Six and you.
Okay. 1 second. Let's keep going here. Okay, now. Okay, back in the Gemara. Okay, now. Okay.
Anybody comment on the seven?
I don't know. No, next, the 10th wide line. Okay, now, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa. L'mo Torah v'lisa yisha. Now, the person is facing a choice in life to learn Torah or to get married. L'mo Torah v'charchak yisa yisha. So you should study Torah and then marry. Why? V'm'iyav sharlo v'lo yisha, but you can't continue living without a wife. Maybe he's had a hero or this, that, the other. Yisa yisha v'charchak yisa Torah. So Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, halacha, so Shmuel says halacha is No, you marry first and study Torah. Now, Shmuel is in Babel. Shmuel says, no, marry first and then study Torah. Rabbi Yochanan, who was there with Israel Amar, he's got a millstone around his neck, means like marriage. He had a lot of financial obligations, and it'll be Osek Torah. So therefore, he should study Torah first. So Shmuel says, marry first. Yochanan says, learn Torah first. Lo plegi. The Gemara says, there's no machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. Halan v'halahu. One is halacha for us in B'nai Babel. One is halacha for B'nai Eretz Israel. So the Rashi takes it, each was speaking to his locality. Shmuel's in Babel, so he says, get married first and study Torah, because he figures, we'll see in Rashi in a minute, that in Babel, you're going to go to Eretz Israel to study in Yeshiva. So you leave the wife behind, or the headaches leave behind, and then you'll be off in Eretz Israel, nobody's going to bother you. But if you're in Eretz Israel, the wife is nearby, so the headaches are going to spill out over you, so therefore it's better not to get married first. Now, Tosfos, though, asked a series of questions against Rashi, and in the end, he says the other way around. He says that each was addressing the other one's sort of membership or population. So Shmuel says to the people in Eretz Israel, no se'isha v'karchat yom
Torah.
No. In other words, you should marry first in Eretz Israel and then study Torah. But in other words, Tos doesn't like that you just leave up the wife and what, how they're going to take care of themselves. So he says that Shmuel was addressing the people in Eretz Israel, even though Shmuel's from Babel. And he was saying, you get married first and study Torah, and you won't like abandon the wife and stuff like that. And Rabbi Yochanan was addressing the people from Babel, and he was saying, no. He says, study Torah and then go back and take care of the wives. Okay, let's see the Rashi. Then we'll see a few lines of Tosos, then move on. So let's go to Rashi, 10 lines from the bottom. Halan v'halahu. Lan means for us and for them. Us is B'nai Babel, and them is Eretz Israel. So B'nai Babel, Yehochim, Gorsh, Mishnayot, Tanah, Eretz Israel. So in Babel, they would study the Mishnayot of the Tanaim in Eretz Israel. We tell Shalom, Yim Chutzlam, Komam, since they're studying outside their place where they live, in Sarcheh, by Mutalim Alav. So he's like, no headaches, the household are on top of him. He just leaves and gone, I'll see you around. So no Seisha, Babel over here. So he'll marry and he'll like satiate his needs. He says, Torah. He's got sort of like, what? Well, that's what Rashi's going to, what Tosfos is going to address. But in other words, the idea is, marry, and then I'll go to Eretz Israel, I'll talk to you in a year or two. Now, Lahu, next Rashi, Lebnei Eretz Israel, Lomdim and Koma, they're learning like near where they all live. So, they'll say, what are you doing? You got this, we got that, we got other things, so they won't be able to study Torah. Now, look at Tosfos quickly. We won't do the whole Tosfos. We'll just do a couple lines. So, if you look around 10 lines into Tosfos, this is Vakash, the Rabbeinu Tam, you have it, the Tosfos, Halan v'halahu, 10 lines into the Tosfos, it says, the first word in the word line is Alav. It says, Vakash, the Rabbeinu Tam, Vakash, Rabbeinu Tam, Damash, the Kamer Shmuel, Tadosi, Shah, Tchila, Nilio, below Hero, Umukilal, the Milton, the Nei, Babel, Imkain, Akati, Ikin, Hero, Yishukhilmo, Kusum, Koman. They still have like here whore because the wife won't be around. So how am I solving anything? How's he, like you say, how's he going to dump the wife and go somewhere else? He's an obligation to take care of, you know, food and support for the family and the kids. So it sounds like it's not the right thing to do. So the next line, Al Kinyan the Rilu Roitam Hipcha. Tam says just the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan da Amar Eichaim Tzabro B'yaso Petorah B'nei Babel Diber. Shnichol Laniach Ishto B'yalech Milmol Torah. It's not an option to just marry and dump the wife and come. So he says, so that's like Eichaim Tzabro B'yaso Petorah. You can't do that. You can't just dump her. But Shem Anim. In addition to which, they're not so wealthy. And Shmuel said, get married first. But they are Israel Amar. She chol lamod komam. Gami mashirim. They were wealthier in Israel. But Tovlo, she say, Shabi lo tor batara. Umiyu, Hamim shigam b'nei Israel, he yotzin chutzim komal Babel lamod Torah. So it's true, Tosha says, sometimes people from Israel would go to Babel to study. Ruba, you lamod komam. Then Tosfos says, we got to run. Maintema im Shmuel Shem Bnei Babel, the more the Bnei Israel. Don't ask how is Shmuel and Babel, why is he giving the halacha for Bnei Israel? There were Tamidim there, so he's speaking to them. In other words, like the visiting team. Shmuel's in Babel, we got the visiting team for Israel. He tells them, this is the way you should do there. Rabbi Yochanan of Pishayim Israel, Rabbi Yochanan of Israel, Yom Dermot Tamidim Shmuel Babel. And he says that it's the way in other Gemara also. Okay, let's go further to the Gemara. Now, you know, there's a cute line they say, it mentions in Yivalaj and Adi Rishlayim, you know, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, he was learning the base medrash, he would like grab a Talmud and like hold him by the neck, and he go from one place to another place. The guy would be like sort of like a neck hold or whatever. So they said Reb Chaim b'tzavrov yasok b'torah. Like Reb Chaim is on his neck, and how can he yosek b'torah? In other words, like he's dragging him all around the place. Okay. Anyway, so let's see back from the Gemara. Now we're 8 lines from the bottom on Chav Tem of Beis. So Mishtabek le Rav Chista Rav Huna the Rav Hamnuna down the Gadol. So Rav Chista was speaking to Rav Huna and praising Rav Hamnuna, the Rav Hamnuna is in the Dam Gadol. So when I learned this line of the Gemara, did it remind you of another Gemara that we had recently? So remember on last week, it was on Daf Chav Hey, remember the Savei Dinizunia that comes this year from Rav Chista, remember? And then Rav Chista told Rav Hamnuna, Zil Saninu, Patam and Chayrem, and then he started asking, and then they said, well, you know, he doesn't answer our questions fully or give us the reasons, and they asked about Sirus. So, yeah, so one shot was that Rav Hamnuna was a Talmud of Rav Chista, but another shot was that he was a Maturing Malan for Rav Chista. But either way, here you see the Rav Chista is busy praising him. Right, and remember, they denigrated him. They said, your name's not Hamnuna, it's Karnuna. Karnuna, like the cold fish, or the person who studies in the Karnot, Chas V'Shalom. So he says here, so he praises him, so Rav Huna said to Rav Chista, when he comes by, bring him to me. When Rav Hamnuna showed up, Chazal Pari Sudra, he saw he wasn't wearing a sudra. So there's a whole question what sudra means. Now, the Gra takes it that he wasn't wearing a head covering at all, but others want to say that the way the Beis Yosef understands it, that people wear a head covering, when married, they wore a bigger head covering, like a sudra. And then the Magen Avraham wants to say that people who were married would cover their head with a talis, like the way Ashkenazim do, like that. So he says here, Amarlei, my tamalo priest sudra, how come you don't wear sudra is like this turban or this garment on your head? Amarlei, I'm not married. Amarlei, don't sing them. Hajim la peimine. So Rav Chista turned away from him. Rav Huna turned away from him. Rav Huna turned away from him. Amarlei, chazlu la'api adinasved. He said, I don't want to see you until you get married. So Rav Huna tame, Rav Huna was following his shita, the amar, then eshrim shana v'lo nasa isha. If a person is 20, Rav Huna says, and he hasn't married, kol yama ba'avera. Well, his whole life is ba'avera. He says, ba'avera sakadayta. Avera means like sexual, like something wrong. In other words, he's got like a lot of hormones going around. He's thinking about all these things. So Amarava, the Chintanah to be Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi taught, why don't you get a Gemara open? We're feeling to the bottom on top 10 of the days. Okay. So Amarava, the Chintanah to be Rabbi Shmuel. At Esrim Shana, up until page 58, 3 lines to the bottom. This is at Esrim Shana, Yosef HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mitzapela Dama Tayisa Isha. For the first 20 years, the Kaddish Baruch Hu was like eagerly waiting when he's going to get married. Came in Shigi Esrim Lona Sa. When he's 20 and he hasn't married, Omer Tipa Kasavotav, like his bones should swell up. He says, so Amrav Chista, Haida Difta Mechavroi. But Chista says, the fact that I'm like better than my colleagues, did not see them a shitzar, because I got married when I was 16. You haven't seen the bar based bar. If I would have got married when I was 14, not playing up and up. In Europe, they used to do that. You know, there was one person in our community met in Europe. I remember reading, like, there was a fellow who used to live here in Great Neck. His name's Alfie Stone. Unfortunately, he passed away. He's from the Bracha. But he was a descendant of the Minsker Gadol. Minsker Gadol got married, I think, when he was 13, he got married. So they would get married very young. So he says, Havamina the Satan. So if I would have got married at 14, I would have said to the Satan, Yirabeinacha, arrows in your eyes. In other words, like he would taunt the Satan. In other words, like you have no power over me. Now, the next two lines will do this. Amli Rabbi Rabbi Nathan Bar Ami, When your hand is on your son's neck, it means that you still have influence over him. I.e., you should serve the scimitar thing. Maybe 16 to 22. But I'm in Lamitzvani straight out of the some say from 18 to 24. Now it doesn't say what takes place. So we'll see Rashi Kupshat him. Let's see Rashi. He says the second wide line of Rashi, Adiadech al Sabrei de Brech, but Odia can't keep up in Kah, Kormashed, Yobo, Kvel Toka Kah, Asiyawisha. In other words, when he says he listens to you, you should marry him off. You know, that's the duty from the father. In other words, he says, and then Mishitzar, Shinin, he is manlethos, with 16 to 18 times to get married, you tell me, yes, you're tarking al Takwe, don't delay it later than 22. The Shona Cher, but a different version of or explanation of Gemara is, Adiadech al Sabrei de Brech, like you still have like strong influence over him. In other words, give him whatever musar you want to give him during that window of opportunity. What's the time you should start with from 16 to 22? You only 16, you don't know as I'm saying I'll take it in so well. And then don't like pile on too much. You term is from a tartin. If the chushal you say you are, and 1:22, he may rebel against you. And he said that's the main pshat. Rashi says, let me just do quickly. Get back in the Gemara line 5, get 9. Chanok lanar al pita ko. You educate your son al pita ko. Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Nachanya, chanamar mishitzar v'yisumatar tain. Some say for 16:22, but chanamar mitvanis rabbi yadis from Yarba 18:24. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts? Anything we did? All right. Let me end the recording. One second. One time.